you guys. Flickers of Fear time. This is my little movie review show. So the movie we're going to be talking about today came out in 2016 and is called Under the Shadow. It's actually on Netflix at the moment and has been for quite a long time. This was another movie that I saw quite a long time ago. I think I saw it back in 2017, I want to say, and I really, really loved it. So it was one that I wanted to revisit for this show, you know, to see if it still held up like this many years later and stuff like that. And I'm happy to report that it absolutely does. And I will say too that I'm glad that for whatever reason, like the first time I watched this, and I think I even mentioned this because I wrote about it on my blog a long time ago, but it's like the first time I watched it, I watched the dubbed version because I guess back then I didn't realize that you could probably change it like back to its, you know, original language and watch it subtitled, which I always prefer. And I guess I didn't know that you could do that. So I ended up watching it dubbed and it really kind of like, you know, I got used to it after a while, but it did kind of annoy me. So this time I was at least smart enough to be like, oh, hey, gonna turn that English dubbing off and gonna have like the regular language soundtrack, and I'll just, you know, read the English subtitles. I'm fine with that. So I can hear everybody's real voices. Like I said, other than giallo movies, I'll give them a pass, but it's like generally I really do not like dubbing because it's just too distracting. It just takes me out of the movie if I know that that's like not what the actual actor's voices sound like. So, you know, so I'm glad that I got to watch it in its original language the way I probably should have watched it the first time around. So now if you know anything about this movie, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but this was actually the directorial debut of Babak Anvari. Now he is a British-based filmmaker, although he was born in Iran. He actually left Iran when he was a teenager. And he directed back in, I think it was 2018 or 2019, he directed the movie Wounds, which is actually quite a good film if you're into like weird, like surrealist shit. I thought, it's really weird because I could have sworn that I had reviewed that movie, you know, on the Matinee show or on here or something like that. But I looked back and I never did. I knew I had done the book. I did actually do the book by Nathan Ballingrud, which is like a short story collection. So maybe that's what I was thinking of, but I know I watched the movie. So it's like, I don't know why I didn't do the movie as well, but whatever. But so this was actually, the movie was directed by Babak Anvari as well, but this was actually his first one. And I have to say, as much as I liked Wounds, you know, that was a, you know, it was an adaptation of someone else's work. Whereas this one, I think it seemed like a lot more personal film for him because it was set during the Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s, like I think it was set in 1988, which was right when he was a kid and, you know, the Cultural Revolution, all that kind of stuff. So he remembered a lot of the stuff. So he brought like a lot of his own sort of personal experience to the story. Now, if you look at pretty much every review of this movie that I've read, and I've read a shit ton of them, from all over the place, pretty much every one of them will compare it, usually favorably, to The Babadook. Now, I will say that there are some similarities in the sense that it's very focused on the relationship between a mother and a child, and in the sense that it's a supernatural story, but it's also like a metaphorical story. But I will say, as much as I really liked The Babadook, I kind of feel like that's maybe where the similarities end. This one kind of has, I feel like The Babadook is more like a personal story, like between the mom and the son and like, you know, the grief and everything like that. This one has a lot more, is a lot, you know, yes, it's about the relationship between the mother and the daughter, but it's also about something much larger. Like it's a much, like a sociocultural type of thing, like the shit that was going on, you know, in Iran at that time, and, you know, the Sharia law coming down. So I kind of feel like that was, so this one has like a lot more social commentary, but that said, you can enjoy it just as like a creepy ghost story. It's still metaphorical, but it's still pretty plainly supernatural as well. I don't think that it has quite the same thing as The Babadook had, where it was just kind of like, you know, the monster wasn't really real in any sense. This one, it definitely does seem like the monster is real, but you could read it either way. And I will say, like I said, as much as I liked The Babadook, I think I liked this one a little bit better, just because, I don't know, I found it creepier. I don't know, there was just like something about it that I really liked. And it was kind of like, I was watching something the other day, something that was called Compounded Horror, where it's like And I think I've talked about this before where, you know, you're in this kind of like shitty situation and then, oh, and by the way, like this shitty thing happens, this shitty thing happens. And then, oh, by the way, there's also, you know, monsters. I think I was talking about it in regards to The Descent where, you know, they're lost, it's claustrophobic, you know, they're, you know, they don't know where they are and shit like that. And oh, by the way, there are people eating monsters down there. So this is kind of like the same thing. So the story that we have, this is set in Tehran in 1988, and our main character is a young woman named Shide, and she was actually in medical school, but then during the Cultural Revolution, because she was at the university and she was involved in leftist politics, they will not allow her to continue her medical studies, so they generally kick her out of college. This, understandably, makes her very resentful. She wanted to be a doctor very badly. Her mother was a doctor and she wanted to carry that on. So she gets a little pissed off about it. Now her husband, Iraj, is a doctor already. And at some point pretty early on in the movie, he gets called off to the front lines. Because like they call this, I think it was called the War Between the Cities, where Iraq started like bombing Tehran pretty much all the time. So it was like air raids and stuff. So he gets sent away. They tell him, if you don't go to the front lines, you know, you're going to lose your license to practice. So he's like, okay, well, I have to go. Now, Shide is kind of like I said, she was a very, very modern woman. She was studying to be a doctor. You know, she works out to her Jane Fonda videotape. She's got like all this stuff. So, you know, when Sharia law starts coming in, she's really, really not down with it. She's still got a VCR, which you're not supposed to have. She's really like resentful of all these new, you know, laws coming in. You know, she's not allowed to drive anymore. She's, you know, so basically she's kind of like stuck in the apartment now looking after her and her husband's daughter, Dorsa. Now, pretty much the first half of the movie is almost kind of like a domestic drama because, and I really like the character of Shide, who's played by an actress named Narges Rashidi. She's like fantastic in this. And I love that she's not always a likable character. And I think that was kind of like cool that they made her like that. But everything that she does, you can understand like why, if you were in the same situation that she was in, you would probably act like that too. Because like I said, she gets real, real fucking snippy when, you know, her husband is like, you know, oh, maybe this is all for the best. And now you can stay home and take care of our kid, with the implication being that you weren't going to be a good mother before because you were too busy trying to be a doctor and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, he's a little condescending. And then the fact that now she's essentially stuck in her apartment because she's not really, you know, like I said, she's not allowed to drive anymore and stuff like that. So she's kind of stuck here with the kid. And it's like she loves her daughter, but she wanted more, you know, out of her life. And she's also afraid too that it, like, the more this goes on, like, it's going to affect her daughter as well, obviously, like when she gets to be a woman. So there's that kind of whole thing going on too. So now she's stuck in the apartment with Dorsa. She gets like I said, a little snappy with her sometimes, you know, and not only that, because, you know, they have a little bit of tension going on. She has a lot of personal resentment, but also because the city's being bombed. You know, there's air raid sirens. They have to run down to the basement, shit like that. And then as the movie goes on, other residents of the building are starting to get the fuck out of there. You know what I mean? Now, Iraj, before he leaves, he basically tells Shide, he's like, look, why don't you leave the city, take Dorsa to my parents' house? It's like, at least you'll have a support network. But she is, Shide is very stubborn. And she's like, no, we'll be fine here. You know, this is our home. You know, they're not going to drive me out. So like I said, it's not the smartest decision, but you can see why she does it, because she's just like very stubborn. She's very independent and she's very resentful that her independence is slowly being frittered away. And so she's trying to like make a stand. So she's in this building. Like I said, the neighbors keep leaving. Now, at some point between all of this, there's a little boy that moves into the apartment with another family, like neighbors of theirs. His parents were killed in the bombing, like in another city. And his name is Mehdi. And he's supposedly mute, you know, and has been since his parents were dead because of the trauma. But Dorsa, Shide's little girl, says, Mehdi told me that there is an evil djinn in this, like haunting this building. And he gave me this little thing like to protect myself. I think it was like a little ball, like made of cat fur or something like that. But it was supposed to, like, protect her from it. Now, Shide is, like, very much, you know, she's very hard-headed. She's very into science. She's just kind of like, look, this djinn, they're not real. It's, you know, it's all imagination. So she just, like, throws this thing away because she doesn't, like, she's like, what the fuck is this? This is, like, a big thing of cat fur. But Dorsa also has this little doll named Kimia, which her dad gave her. And Kimia is also kind of, like, it comes to almost be sort of like a totem, like she believes that it protects her from the djinn. Now, there's a lot of conflict because Dorsa starts to get kind of sick. Like, she develops this fever that won't go away. She's never hungry. She doesn't really want to eat. You know, she's just got all these fucking problems. And she's, like, you know, telling her mom that she's seeing this woman in the building, in the apartment, but at first Shida doesn't see her. So Shida takes Dorsa to the doctor, and she's like, look, I can't find anything wrong with her. Maybe it's just stress, you know, because maybe you should get the fuck out of the city like most people are doing because, you know, we're getting bombed to shit and all this other stuff. And then it ends up happening that a missile actually does hit their apartment complex, but it doesn't go off. So there's, like, this huge fucking missile sitting in, like, you know, comes through the ceiling or whatever. And there's also a kind of thing where one of their neighbors is, like, an older guy, and when the missile comes through, he has a heart attack. And since Shide was in medical school, like, the neighbors ask her to help, and she tries to help him, but he dies anyway. So then she also feels guilty that, you know, I had all this knowledge and it couldn't save him. So she has that going on as well. So, like I said, it's not a good situation for anybody. So after the missile busts through, that's pretty much the last straw for, like, most of the other residents. They're just like, yeah, we just got to get the hell out of here. But again, Shida will not go. Now, at some point, she starts to see this apparition as well, which supposedly is a djinn. Now, the thing about it, though, it's, like, it's really cool. I really like the way that he did the ghost in this one. It's essentially like a ghost, but it's, like, wearing a chador, you know, like the long, you know, just people are like burqa type of thing. It's wearing one of those. But the thing that the djinn does is it essentially talks to Dorsa, the little girl, like she's her friend, and basically says, you know, your mom sucks, like, she's not a good mother, she's always, like, yelling and irritated with you, and it's like, I would be a much better mother than she would, and it's like all this other kind of stuff. And then, like, creepy shit starts happening around the apartment, like Dorsa's doll Kimia disappears, and Dorsa's just, like, flipping out, she can't, like, fucking deal with it. You know, things go missing, like Shide's Jane Fonda workout tape, which she's not supposed to have, but she's kind of, like, just always, like, constantly doing aerobics, almost like it's like a way of relieving stress, I guess. But that, like, ends up, it goes missing, and then it ends up, like, in the garbage, like, with it all torn out. She blames Dorsa, so it's almost kind of like the djinn is, like, working them against one another, like, saying, oh, you know, you took my doll, you took my workout tape, you did this, that, and the other. Because at first, like I said, Shida obviously doesn't believe that there's an evil djinn, like a ghost, in the fucking apartment building. But then, like I said, after a while, she starts to see it herself, and eventually kind of starts to believe in it. There's also a lot of kind of symbolic stuff about, because, like I said, after the missile, like, crashes through the roof of the building, I don't remember what floor they're on. I think it's only, like, the second or third, but it's just, like, I think it's the fourth floor up, so it's, like, a floor up from them. So, like, there's some cracks in the ceiling, and she just, like, is basically, like, trying to fix it with, like, masking tape and stuff. And then at one point, like, the doll, Dorsa's doll Kimia, like, reappears, but she's all torn up. And then, you know, Shida is, like, trying to tape the doll back together with masking tape. I mean, obviously, metaphorically, you know, his masking tape is not gonna hold off, like, all this fucking horror and everything like that. But that's, like, all she's got to use, like, to do that. So it's just kind of, like, papering over the cracks sort of thing. And, like I said, while all this is going on, too, there's, like, some ridiculous shit where at some point in the movie, Shide finally sees, you know, pretty incontrovertible proof that there is, like, this evil djinn, like, floating around their fucking apartment, and it freaks her out. So she picks up her little girl and runs the fuck out of the apartment like a smart person would do. Then she gets taken to the police because she doesn't have a head covering on, and they basically tell her, well, you know, a woman should be more afraid of, like, being exposed than anything else, even though there's a fucking evil djinn in her building. So, like I said, that is kind of, like, a backdrop of the whole stuff that's going on, like, the whole Iran-Iraq war and all the shit that happens subsequently. So it's bad enough she has to deal with that, but then she also has to deal with, you know, her more personal problems and shit like that. So I don't want to spoil too much about it because I don't know if a lot of people have seen this. I feel like it got a lot of attention because I think it premiered at Sundance. It might have gotten like kind of a brief theatrical run, I think, not here, but like in big cities. And then Netflix picked it up like not too long after that, because I'm pretty sure it's been on Netflix maybe like a year, because I'm pretty sure I watched it in like summer 2017 or something like that, like not that long after it came out. As far as I know, as of this recording, it's still on Netflix right now. So if you really like stuff like, you know, I hate to say it again, but if you really like The Babadook, if you really liked The Devil's Backbone, this kind of gave me a little bit of that sort of vibe too, like thematically, you know, not so much visually or anything like that. But this is very much like a really creepy ghost story. And like I said, it's not, and there are like some jump scares and stuff like that. And the creepy shit doesn't really start happening until the halfway point. But I really liked like the domestic drama and, you know, the backdrop of war, like behind it. And like, and I really got into like Shide's character of like, you know, holy shit, like the whole country's changing, like all my rights are being taken away. And now I have to like deal with this kid. And now there's a fucking evil djinn in here. And, you know, all this other kind of fucking shit she's got to deal with. And like I said, I thought it was a brave decision to make her, I'm not going to say she's unlikable, but sometimes she's very prickly. You know what I mean? But that said, you can understand like why she would be that way. You know, even though sometimes, yeah, you know, yeah, she shouldn't have snapped at her kid like that. Yeah, she shouldn't have done that and stuff like that. But you can totally understand why, because she's just like at the end of her fucking rope, right? Because she's got like all kind of problems. But yeah, so if you like that kind of like metaphorical horror, this does have, like I said, you know, once you get past the halfway point, it does have like some really creepy imagery. And like I said, I really love the image of the ghost like wearing the chador, and it's like, there's one scene that's fucking great where she like reaches under the bed because she thinks her daughter is under there, and then like she pulls and it's not her daughter. But you know what I mean? It's really good. Like the visual is really good. But yeah, so if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. It came out in 2016. It's really cool because you don't see, I don't see a lot of Middle Eastern horror, a lot of horror coming out of Iran. So, I mean, I know that he moved to Britain, like, when he was a teenager, so, yeah, he actually, like, got, but they didn't actually even, they couldn't even shoot this in Iran, I believe they shot it in Jordan, but, yeah, so you don't really see a lot of horror movies set, like, during this time period or during this, you know, in that area, and so it's, like, really cool to see what is essentially, like, a haunted house or, like, a ghost story, like, set against that backdrop, set against that cultural framework, so it's, like, really, really cool to see that, because you don't really see it all that much. But yeah, definitely, definitely check it out if you're looking for something a little bit different. But like I said, that said, it's not that different. It's, you know, it's still pretty, it's still like a good ghost story, you know, with metaphorical elements to it and a lot of like family drama kind of underlying it. But if it sounds like your cup of tea, I definitely do recommend it. It was one of my favorite horror movies from the past several years. I just really, really liked it a lot. And I was really glad that I got to watch it again, because like I said, the first time I watched it, it was dubbed, and I don't recommend that. I don't really recommend watching anything dubbed. I mean, you know, that's just me. I don't really like watching stuff dubbed, but it's much better when it's not dubbed, because at least that's what their real voices sound like. But yeah. So yeah, it's on Netflix, Under the Shadow. Definitely check it out. It's a great, great ghost story, and I really dug it. So that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.